you so much. Thank you for listening to the Long Shot Podcast. I am one of your hosts. My name is Sean Conroy. Oh, and by the way, good evening, good desk. That's as far as I'm going today. And the other, the
hostess.
The hostess with the co-host, the co-hostess with the co-mostess, as ever, is here. Miss Amber Kenny is on the scene.
Hello.
Laying down the beats on the ones and twos.
Hello.
So, big week. Lots to discuss. I think anybody who listens to the show on a regular basis knows where we're going. But I had a very exciting event in my life this week, which is I went to the theater on Saturday night and, you know, bought a ticket ahead of time, showed up to the theater and did not have that difficult of a time parking.
Oh, great. I'm honestly was like braced for like I'm sorry that we had a theater. Like,
no, I found a spot.
It wasn't horrible.
Like a 7-minute walk from the theater, but I feel like in LA that's the cost of doing business. And I went to see Amber's show, Liquid Feet. So.
Thank you so much for coming. Yeah, well, let's talk about it.
Yeah,
we haven't discussed at all, so I really don't know.
I sent one text. Amber very perfunctorily responded, so we have not.
We can get there, but like yesterday, I literally like powered down. Like I couldn't do anything.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I know the feeling. I'm familiar. So tell me what it was like to be on stage at the Lyric Hyperion with Liquid Feet back together in front of a live audience for the first time in.
The last time we had a Liquid Feet show like the, that was ours, not just us doing a spot on someone else's, was August 2019.
So almost 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of comedy dance troupes don't survive an interval that long, you know? Like they keep working together, but they're not performing and they're like, what the fuck are we doing? And
right.
It's like, oh, I'm out the door. There goes Gary. Like, I guess we're down to two of us, you know?
Right. Now what are we doing? I mean, look at this podcast. It's-
yeah. There's so many people
and we're not even dancing.
We're just sitting here like looking at ourselves on screen. It's not that hard.
I keep laughing because I'm on Facebook occasionally now because of work. Mm-hmm. And I keep getting served a Facebook group to join that at first I was like, why am I getting this? And then I realized, oh, that is very accurate. And it was dancers over 40.
You're finally eligible.
But like, of course, all of the pictures are like women in their 70s. Like it feels like there's like a huge jump.
Right. You squeaked in under the wire. You barely made it. And they're very resentful. Like all those women over 70 are like, we're out here doing the salsa. Three times a week with Enrique, and she just comes in with a silly dance group, and all of a sudden we're supposed to accept her as a member?
It's so funny. Well, and I was talking about that with Liquid Feet. We will talk about the show, but like that's our long con, is that we'll just keep doing this until we are like truly very old. And then we will be inspirational. Like now we just kind of worry people if they don't get it.
Right.
But then it'll be like, my God, the hope, the spirit.
Well, it's like that documentary, Young at Heart, about the chorus that sings and they're all like literally one of them dies while they're making the documentary.
Oh my gosh.
You guys are going to have a documentary where one of you is going to have to die. So
not it.
I mean, it's congratulations on the new Facebook group. I might have to try to join just to see if there's anybody out there who wants to do a little cha-cha with me. A young whippersnapper like myself.
Yeah, yeah. You could get some cougars. People still say that.
I think they're saber-toothed tigers at this point.
But to answer your question, it was great. It was so fun. I don't know if we like how we want to tell this story, but like the day of, I think
let's start at the beginning. That's a very good place.
We could go backwards. We could go forwards.
What if we do it memento style? Like
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like you say how you felt about the first act.
Well, I got a tattoo of when I was leaving, I saw Jeff and Abby and Tess. We'll get there. No, let's go in chronological order.
Okay. I think I mentioned like leading up to it, we were rehearsing a lot and it was going well. And
6 hours a day, I believe you said.
Well, one of the days. We have jobs and lives and stuff.
Every other day it was like 10 minutes, but that one day we really exactly. killed it. Yeah.
We would just text each other a thumbs up and that counted as rehearsal. But so the day of the show, we decided that we would meet at my place and like run dances a little bit. So we felt fresh in them. And then we had a 2-hour tech rehearsal at the theater.
That's always a brutal day of the show.
Yes. But then we would be done by 3 p.m. and have like a long break to rest.
Smoke.
Like,
I mean, dancers usually smoke in between performances.
Well, I wanted to go home and like
stretch plie, demi plie. First position, second position.
Yeah, you plie and then you demi plie.
Step ball chain. You know, like I know.
Yeah,
I know
yeah. Are you over 40? Have I got a group for you?
Hello, ladies.
But
he choked on a pen.
But yeah, we wanted to. I was the big proponent of because people are like we could do stuff after the tech rehearsal, and I was like. No, like I have been in shows where it's like, let's rehearse for 9 hours and then do the show. And you're just like spaghetti, like you're mush. Your brain is mush. Your body is mush. You eat food and it's just like, take it. Like you need quiet time.
By the
time.
Way, if your spaghetti is mush, you've cooked it for too long. It should be out there.
I mean, I wasn't. Yes.
Yeah.
My spaghetti was mush.
Yeah, right.
And the show's at 9:30 and real talk. Like that's most late. Most nights of the week, I'm in my PJs in bed at 9:30.
Let me tell you something. I'm not, and I still fucking felt it. Yeah. I was like, oh Jesus.
So I wanted to have as much like downtime, quiet time, me time, whatever. Also, I feel like everyone has their own pre-show rituals and prep, and it's not the like. Being together for 12 hours isn't optimal, I feel like.
Right.
Pretty sure. Anyway, so we decided to do all of that.
Well, and especially because you guys don't actually like each other. Like,
it's sure, like, no, it's crazy.
It's like Guns and Roses. Like, yeah. You know, you're about to throw a bottle of Jack Daniels at Dave.
No, we're getting along actually better than ever. I'm very proud of our communication. But, hilariously at my house during the run through, we were like, oh my God, we got this so good. And look at us. We figured out possibly the simplest show we've ever done. We don't need props. We don't need outside people. It's like boom, boom, boom. Could it be easier? This tech is going to be really easy. We set aside 2 hours. We might not even need that.
Just tops and bottoms. We'll be done in 20 minutes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Cut to, we are in the theater and it's not a new space, but it is like under new management.
New management leadership. And it's been redone to a certain extent. There's maybe a different lighting grid in there than there was before. Look, I know these things. I see these things.
Yeah, and I think it looks great. Again, it does. Not it looks like fantastic. The curtain. There's like a red curtain with gold cords, tassels, and that stuff makes a difference. Like, instead of it just being a black room, it's like, oh, now we're in a theater. I really like it. I appreciate it. They did. It didn't used to have a raised stage and they built one, but it's, it was like a catwalk. We're like, well, we're not dancing on that. Like, there's no way.
It was tiny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was looking at that.
So
I was like, that is, I get it. You want to have a stage in your stage.
It's good for like stand up, I guess.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I could see standing on that stage and not doing anything, but any kind of like,
not even sketch comedy. Yeah.
Tricky, you know?
Well, and I said, if we had been like rehearsing the whole show in that space,
and you knew that it was going to be there, you could have used it.
Yeah. It could have been fun. Like, we could have used the levels, but it was like, we are past that point.
Yeah.
And Dave did so much work on the show. He heroically did all of the sort of tech cues and voiceovers and and videos and stuff like that. And so he comes in and he's like, we have these, I don't know, 6 videos and these 4 audio files. Right. And he's like, I tried to combine as much of them as possible so that it's not like hit Q, 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 Q. It's like a video that runs all the way through 4 of our dances and videos and stuff. And they were like, great. We don't have a way to play those. And we were like, okay. And so, there was a, I had to
sorry,
keep
going. Can I interrupt for one second? Because in the middle of you talking just now, a thing popped up on my screen that comes up every once in a while that says,
is this your new computer or your old computer?
This is the old one. And okay, it came up and said, Adobe something update available, and you have to click either remind me later or uninstall. And I always click remind me later because I'm like, I don't want to uninstall what's in there, but I don't want to update anything. So I just click remind me later. And what that does is it loads another page of your internet browser, which then pulls up all the pages that I have minimized on my screen. So while you were talking, I was desperately trying to get rid of all these pages that were, so I missed part of your story.
Okay.
So just tell me one more time. Dave brought in all these. How were they loaded?
So they, again, I wasn't super involved with the tech side of it. So I, but anyway, they told him that he would need to use his own computer, which is not normally how it works. Like, we normally have our cues as videos and audio tracks, depending on what we need. And we just deliver all of those files to them on like a flash drive.
So they have them loaded onto their
and then
computer.
They put it in whatever system they have. But we needed to use our computer, but we didn't. I mean, I keep saying like we, it was really Dave, but at the same time, like it wasn't like I was sitting there being like, Dave, really, you should think about anyway. because it was just these audio files and they had to switch between video and audio. And it was just his computer. It wasn't like QLab. They kept talking about QLab. Like, I guess that's a theater Q programming program. Because it was just his computer and it's just like on iTunes, it.
Q's lab is where he would make weapons for James Bond. But
oh, yes. Yeah. something was like really wrong. And again, like it kept being really wrong in different subtle ways.
It's tech rehearsals are a fucking nightmare. You have to have such endless patience to do a tech rehearsal for anything.
Totally. Well, and I was I keep tooting my own horn, but that's okay. I'm allowed to.
Yeah.
Because they were
2023,
like,
blow away.
They were like, we could probably get away with an hour tech rehearsal. And I was like, let's do a 2-hour tech rehearsal. Because every tech rehearsal that I've been in, there's like, it maybe takes 25 minutes to like download something or plug in something. And then you have 20 minutes. Like, you can't do the whole show because you can't even do it in real time. I was like, let's just have 2 hours. Let's have the buffer. So I was really proud of myself for having that forethought.
Yeah.
But there was also nothing I can do. Like, I like being helpful. And also it was such a I could just see Tamara instantly melted down when she saw the size of the stage. Like, I could just see it. And Dave was melting down about, like, because the implication was that he did the tech wrong. And he was like, this is how I've done it for every other show and every other theater. Like, if there were specific ways to do it, like, you should have communicated it to me. Right. But so he was melting down about, like, doing it wrong. Tamara was melting down about the stage being too small. And I was just, like, busy not taking it all on. Do you know what I mean? Like
yeah, you were just like, can I get a tuna melt, please?
No. I just was like, there's literally nothing I can do. Like, mm-hmm. I can't be like, Dave, stop. Like, no matter what I do, I'm making it worse or more complicated. Or so I would go into the green room and just like sit there. Like, right. I can't do anything. I can't, like, I have to almost sit on my hands at some point because, and the woman running our tech was an angel from heaven. Apparently they just asked her to do this as a favor. And so she didn't really know what was going on. So she was, it was like a miscommunication, a multiple
jerky situation.
Yeah. Oh, we were there 3 hours for the 2 hour rehearsal. And by the end, we're like, we think it might work. We have to leave now to eat because we will kill each other.
I'm supposed to be doing pliés and smoking cigarettes by now.
Holy, I was like, I'm supposed to be relaxing, like doing some yoga. And instead, I like didn't bring a water bottle to tech rehearsal. I usually bring a big water bottle everywhere I go. And I was like, I forgot one. That's okay. It's only 2 hours. And I was like, I can't. I'm like dying of thirst.
Can I just give you something to visualize the way that you guys were feeling? Mm-hmm. Imagine that you're on the road in, let's say, Little Rock, Arkansas, doing a 700-seat theater. And there are seven of you doing a tech rehearsal God. Like that. And two of them are Eddie Pepitone and myself.
Oh, no.
Think about that.
You have to tackle Eddie at that point. You have to sedate him. No? Like, what do you do?
Just screaming at each other, either fucking around or for real or whatever. I mean, you know, and melting down. And,
right. Yeah. So. Well, and we were almost, and so then also like when things were starting to go well, it was cracking me up because Dave would be like, no, those lights are on Tamara's part. And I was like, Dave, she doesn't know our show. So it's like, those lights are for Amber's part and Dave's part. And then they change at the next part. Like, you can't just say what it isn't to right. someone who doesn't know our show. Well,
that's exactly the other thing I was thinking of is that one of the problems with tech rehearsals is you know your stuff so well, and then you're trying to communicate it to somebody who has never seen it right. before and has only got an hour or 2 hours to work with you. And you're like, okay, I'm saying something exactly clear about what's about to happen next. And then the person does it completely right. differently from what
you said. Well, and it makes and so like, sense. And you're like, it's like the punch, like it makes sense. Like do right. the punchline. Right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Dave and I were talking about that. Oh, the other thing is Jeff took Smudgy to the park to get him out of our apartment so that we could rehearse in peace. And then we were going to tech and I was like, I don't have a car. Jeff and I have one car. Like, I didn't even think of that. So Dave, can I please come with you? So he had to drive me back home after tech rehearsal. And so we were talking about that. Like, in a perfect world, we would have a dedicated like tech person stage.
Vehicle. Oh, I see.
No, like stage hand who exactly what you're saying,
knows
like
the get show.
Knows yeah. the show yeah, and yeah. gets it. And not to spoil anything, I think it's fine. But so we were doing all of this. The tech woman is also like, she's an angel from heaven and nothing but kind to us, but also kind of melting down because she's like, I'm learning this program for the first time myself. And we're like, okay, like, let's all just be nice to each other. But you could tell like the veil was anything could puncture this veil of kindness.
I have been there hundreds and hundreds of times, believe me. Yes, I know.
And like she would be doing something and Dave would start talking and she'd be like, I actually need to just do this right now. And I was like, yes. Dave, shut the fuck up.
Right. That's one thing you learn is you always have to be like, everything cool. Can we just move on to the next thing? And they go, nope.
Hold and you're on. Like, oh, okay, great. Yeah, yeah. No arguments. Like,
it's fucking tricky.
But in our show, we have a bit about the tech not working. Mm-hmm. And the first time we finally got to that part, like that poor woman had an actual heart attack. And we're like, mm-hmm. no, this is planned. It's planned.
No, this is Tamara's part. This is Tamara.
Wait until Tamara's part. Which I was also like, she doesn't know who, she called me Tamara. But so all of that, like I felt like actually physically ill most of the day. And it was so funny because we were like patting ourselves on the back for like finally figuring out a simple, easy take anywhere on the road version of the show. And like we couldn't even get through one run through. But again, I was proud of ourselves because like I think with less good communication and less developed relationships and less just like, I guess, mature human beings, like we would have all been at our throats, at each other's throats. And we weren't. Like it honestly could have been uglier.
I've been there hundreds of times too. Yes.
So like we just, and it was just like, what? I also was like, Dave, I wish I could help more. Like, I wish there was something I could do. Anyway.
So do I.
So we get home and it's also like, it is what it is.
Yeah. You gotta be zen. There's nothing you can do at that point. The train has left the station.
Fully. And then, you know, like also the whole while, like, Tamara is checking ticket sales. And I'm like, are we going through all of this for like seven people?
And that is the fucking worst. Like that is, I still, you know, obviously I still have no pull in Hollywood, but like anytime I do a show, it's the worst to sit there and go.
It's like waiting for your birthday party to start. Yeah. Like, it's anyway. But we, all of that happens. I go home, I eat dinner, all the normal stuff.
Meditate, I smoke cigarettes, do your demi-pliés.
My regular pliés, my pas-de-chaise. And then we're backstage ready for the show. We have two like special guests within the show. And so I made lineups to make it like really easy for people to know when they are. And as I'm doing that, I was like, Chad, your cue is the second time Jurassic Park plays. Like, God damn it. I'm sorry. We didn't mean to make it so difficult again. Mm-hmm. Like, and it was, we talked about it and it was fine, but it was just we accidentally made it as complicated as possible for the person who's coming from the outside.
It's actually the second time, not the first second time.
Right. It's not when Tamara goes.
It's really easy. It's when Jurassic Park plays. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say that. It plays and then it cuts off and then it comes back. And you'll get it.
I wrote on the lineup, like, the names of the songs into Jurassic 1, and then it was like, but Jurassic 2, and then it was Jurassic 3.
Yeah, that's, you figured it out. That's what you do, you know?
But,
just don't write Jurassic 5, because that's going to be very confusing.
Right. But he looked at us with such disdain. He was like, what is this lineup? And I was like, I promise it makes sense. Like, I can't take this from you right now.
Right.
And then after the show, he was like, honestly, it was a simple show that made a ton of sense. And I get what the lineup means now. Because like, I can't write it defeats the point of a lineup if I write every single thing that happens. Because it's an outline.
An outline.
But anyway, we did the show and It was very, it was like physically very difficult. We had rehearsed the dance.
It really was. It was clearly very physically difficult.
That's not good.
No, not in a bad way. I was just like, wow, these guys are working it, you know?
We had rehearsed the dances a lot, but we often would sort of mark things or like the big hard like lifts or tricks we wouldn't do just because of space in somebody's apartment.
Right.
And then when we're performing, it's always like,
well, you're jacked all the way up at that point. So right. Your heart's beating faster. Your oxygen levels are different. Right.
So we all
computer chips are melting down in your brain. Right. You know.
So like early on in the show, I was like, oh, we're going to die. Like, this is crazy. This is, and I like worked out all the time.
Super physical, you know. Yeah. I mean, dancing, as it turns out, dancing is mostly super physical.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like you said, you guys did some lifts and stuff that were.
There were some lifts that we were, I was like, I'm not doing that. I don't want to risk my life. Like, we're not doing that. But yeah, it was felt like a good audience. And they seemed to enjoy it. Like, really what I wanted was to feel like it was a success would be that we had fun doing it, that the audience had fun watching it, and that I was proud of it. And I feel like it was a success all the way around for that. It wasn't perfect. There is definitely, but that's also kind of us, you know.
It plays to your strengths if it's not
right,
perfect. Yeah.
Right. And I was most excited about the second act, which I sort of hinted at last week, where we are the most daring and we aren't dancing. And we kind of do these solo performances. And I ended up doing an Uncle Vanya monologue. And again, I don't think it was my
best. That was the Shakespeare thing you did?
It was Chekhov. Thank you. I don't think it was my best performance of the monologue. Because turns out when your like heart is exploding, I was like, well, I'm warmed up for it. But it happened, and I was proud of my focus. I didn't break, and that was what I was proud of. And yeah, it was fun. It was such like a weird, weird, weird choice. That's what I was talking about before of like, well, we like it. I don't know if the audience is going to like it, right. But I think it paid off. All of that said, what were your thoughts on the show?
It was fine. Okay, folks, that's our show. No, I thought I really enjoyed it. And I also really enjoyed being in an audience full of people who were, I mean, it's not like you guys had a review in the LA Times and there was,
it was friends and family.
Yeah, it was friends and family. But like, yeah. I love that kind of stuff because it's like everybody's on your side and every moment is so precious and valuable to them. And every joke, they're like, ha, yes, you know. but like in a good positive way and like I just haven't been in a show like that in so long,
a warm audience.
Yeah I mean even the open mics I've been doing aren't like that. No, I'm kidding.
Well,
they don't have that friends and family feeling.
I have a horrible news for you.
So that was really fun. I also thought it was funny because I walked in and there were no seats left in the middle. So I had to sit on the side and I almost sat like right inside the door all the way up close to the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really glad I didn't do that because I basically would have been behind you guys the entire time.
Oh, right.
So
right,
I sat in the front corner of the other side of the stage. And I was the only person in the front row. And it was just funny because you guys came out to start and I was like a foot and a half
Amber. I know. I was like, well, I can't look at you.
And I was like, I can't look at you either. Like, I'm just going to look at the floor. I'm not watching the show. But it was really fun. I mean, there's a lot of really funny stuff. The videos were great. And the dances were great. And it just was a fun night.
Oh, thanks.
You know?
Thanks.
Just, I had a good, warm feeling when I.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And then I saw Jeff and Abby, and that went away immediately.
I had a coworker come, and she brought a
date. I was wondering if you had anybody there from your office.
I had one person. She brought a date, and he was actually my favorite person to talk to after the show, because he doesn't know me at all, doesn't know anything about Liquid Feet or anything. And he was like, that was incredible. I don't know. And I was like, okay, honestly, that we did it. It's success.
Yeah, that's way more valuable than like somebody you know really well.
Yeah. Though. Like
exactly what I expected.
Jeff has to like it. Like Barbara has to like it. Jess has to like it. Abby has to like it. You don't have to like it, but you're probably gonna.
I'm probably gonna, you know.
You were our narrator at one point.
I was. What am I going to do? Turn on the people who gave me my first break in show business?
but the fact that he like is how I just I would love to have been in his head. Like imagine walking in that theater not knowing what you were even watching.
Like, that's crazy. So had they been dating for a while?
I think it's like their third date.
That is so crazy. Insane.
I know.
And hilarious. And yeah, you're right. And you know, this is
marry him. Like, yes. Let's do
this. But this is a thing that I just recently brought up at a meeting at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. Just, you know, whatever. It was the whole thing about people didn't want to do intros to the show anymore. They just wanted to come out and start the show and whatever.
But and sometimes there needs to be some context.
Well, if you have when you're improvising, people, what if there's somebody there who doesn't even know what
improv
is?
Yeah.
And my point is, the person you want to hook is the person who's never been there before and doesn't know what they're walking into and doesn't expect anything and goes, holy shit, that was great. I want to see something again. And that guy was that guy. And
so I feel like,
you know,
so we did it. Success.
Right.
But also like
you didn't need reviews from anybody else except for that guy.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. I would love to have heard his internal monologue, like as the show, like what did he think it was? What did it become?
and even like you're talking about the Jurassic Park theme song, and like I feel like if you weren't expecting that, you wouldn't quite get that that's what it was at first,
right?
Because it does sound like some kind of classical music, and you're like, oh, there's something, and you're like, holy shit, this is the Jurassic Park theme song and they're turning into dinosaurs. So yeah, there was a lot of great moments, and it is always funny to see you guys jump around and go upside down and do lifts and
over 40.
Yeah,
not all of us.
Ain't no salsa dancers pulling that crap. The other two acts were funny too.
Good. We have struggled booking guests because we are such a weird specific tone.
Yeah.
That like we've booked just like straight up stand up comedians and it kind of doesn't work because they have to shit on us. But then that like bursts the little bubble that we've
honestly
created.
They don't have to. They don't.
But you know what I'm saying? Like it like if there's any cynical cynicism, it like kind of ruins this weird universe that we've created. But then we
That's what it is. It's very sincere. And it's like, I was trying to explain it to somebody and I was saying like they are completely earnest, but not in a way that's like, isn't it funny we're being earnest? Like it's it's sincere earnestness, if there is such a thing, you know. And if somebody comes in and goes, well, how about those guys, whatever the hell that was,
it's like oh yeah,
thanks buddy.
And then we can't have
Buddy Hackett was the one who did that, in case I wasn't being clear.
And then we can't have acts that are like the same amount of silly as us, because that's all, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like a very specific tone that only works for us. And I feel like with those two acts, we found it in the sense that they were contrasting, but also can live within the same world.
Right. It was, And, you know, I had never seen that woman perform before. I feel like either I follow her on Twitter or somebody
follows her. Allie Gertz was our musical guest.
But I thought that was really funny that she... So I don't feel like I'm spoiling anything that
I think she's working on an album of just that.
Yeah, so. she said that during the show. She sang, she was like, I'm going to do a cover of a Nine Inch Nails song. And it was, I Want to Fuck You Like an Animal, but done like very like.
So sweet.
Travis picking guitar yeah. and like very, you know.
Yeah.
And she did it. She did like the chorus twice. And then the third time she was like, if you haven't taken a video of me singing this part yet, now is the time to do it. It was really funny. And then she sang a song about a character on The Simpsons, who I'm not even familiar with, but I could tell if I knew The Simpsons,
I would be
like, this is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is my loss. What can I do? And then the other bit was very funny about, it was basically, it was like a beat for beat recreation of an action movie where somebody is forced to wear a vest full of explosives mm-hmm. and do something for the person who's on the other end of the walkie-talkie that they're listening to. And in this case, it was that the guy wanted him to tell really bad jokes to an audience. And then the end of it was getting an audience member involved and forcing them to be part of what he was saying. So it was a funny bit. And it, like, I appreciated that it you know, got it heightened during, like, it did everything you're supposed to do in a bit. It was funny.
Yeah, that was Chad. He is great. He's like a big clown guy. Like, not that he is he's big in the clown world. Not that he's a big.
Right. In case people don't know, clown is very popular in LA at this point. And a lot of people are doing clown. They're letting their inner clown around.
Mm-hmm.
And he's involved in that whole scene. But yeah, I thought it was great.
Oh, thanks.
I would not come again, but
you know. Fair.
And it's also funny, and this is just how it goes, but the fact that you're talking about how stressful and how much time it took for the tech rehearsal, and that the very first thing that happened in the show was a video that came on and the sound was not right. on. And then the sounds, like, you could see the volume on the screen yeah. getting louder and louder. And it's just like, there's nothing you can do. No. You know, that's just the way it goes.
And it kind of worked. Cause like the voice of the show was that, like, we are the world's greatest everything.
Right. Right.
So it is funny to be that bombastic. And then it's like,
sorry, yeah,
it's muted.
And it did get a big laugh from the audience. It was like, uh-oh. And then somebody was like, the sound, or something like that. Like,
but oh, and one of my other favorite moments was in the finale. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple things. One is, like, we basically roast ourselves. Because we're like, well, that's it. The show's over. And then we turn around and we're like, you wish. Like, the audience wishes the show is over.
Right.
That is so funny to me. But
it very much rang true to me.
But then we went out and we took off
they
our
read
head.
They read my mind.
We took off our headbands and we ran off stage and got top hats. And then inside the top hats, we took out a different headband and threw away the top hat. That was a fun bit.
I like little bits like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really fun.
Who knows when we will do it again or what will come of it. But we survived and it was a success. And yay. And thank you so much for coming.
I will go to any show ever. No. Of course I'll go to, to your show. I want to support your dance career.
Thank you.
Now that you're over 40 and a member of the Sabretooth Tiger dance troupe.
We've been talking about, like, this is an apology far too late, but the fact that we forced you to have such a pivotal role in our shows in the past, like that, it like we were making fun of ourselves of being like, okay, we have a really specific tone and voice. Here's the script. You're on stage the whole fucking time, and all of your cues, like the entire show is dependent on that. So good luck. Like, I was like, we put way too much on you, but we couldn't figure out another way to do it.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, we were proud of ourselves for figuring a way out of that, because it's too much to put on someone who isn't even in our group.
But to be fair, it never even occurred to me that that was an issue at all. You know?
Oh, like, that's good.
Of course, this is what I'm born to do.
We have had other people involved with our show that tried to just like do their thing, and then they come off stage just like action, and I'm like, yeah, it's a it's a different we do a different thing, and I'm so sorry.
But yeah, it was great, and like I said, I very much enjoyed the show, and then just for a moment on my way out, and I, no offense to Jeff and Tess, but to get to see Abby is always a treat. I mean, I haven't seen her in so long.
Yeah, it's nice. When would you have seen her last? I don't even know.
I feel like it's been many years.
Yeah.
But I know Abby.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that was a nice surprise.
It's nice to have loved ones under one roof.
Friends
yeah.
and family.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's I'm going to be doing most of my shows under the friends and family plan.
It is funny that we are over 40, just basically putting on a talent show in our living room, but it is what it is.
Hey.
What are you going to do?
Never boring. You know?
Oh, my boss, I guess word got out that I was doing the show. And so my boss right before the weekend was like, hey, your show this weekend, is that like a money-making venture for you? And I just laughed. I was like, no. No, I think I said, is any art? And he's like, oh, that's dark. No, but like at this point.
You ever heard of Vinnie Van Gogh? The guy died without a penny to his name. And now look, his paintings are selling for millions.
No, but at this point, it's just like, I think that was one of the texts I even sent this week amid stress to Tamara and Dave. It's just like, we do this for fun,
right,
and because we like dancing, and we need to remember that, because it's like that's it. Like, we're not gonna get a movie deal off of this, like maybe, but I don't think that can't be why we're doing it,
right? Although I don't know, I mean, I used to do 8 shows a month at UCB, and I just did it
for the love of the game.
I loved it. And now I get paid $30 a show.
Hello.
I only get to do one show a month.
Every 6 months.
That, yeah. I get the fucking cash.
That's a dollar a day, baby. Yes.
That's enough to live on if you're a hermit crab. And maybe have some left over. Like, a lot of hermit crabs go on vacation after the year's out. They don't have to pay rent. I mean, they're just fucking carrying that shit around with them.
Right.
It's just food. All right. Well, I guess this feels like a good place to do a segment on the show that we like to call Parting Shots.
Yes.
So I'll start.
Great.
And I'll give 2 parting shots. The first is I just wanted to plug a graphic novel called Justice Warriors, which I received in the post recently. The story is by Matt Boers. Sorry, it said, I don't know what part is what, but here's what I'll read. It says, from Pulitzer Prize nominee Matt Boers, Ben Clarkson, and Felipe Sobrero,
our long-time
collaborator and listener, from Brazil was involved with Justice Warriors.
That is so cool.
And, you know, I have to say, I fucking love this kind of shit. You know, I had a ton. Now I'm probably going to say something offensive now, but I had a ton of Italian. No, I'm kidding. I had a ton of comic books. That's what I mean. You're supposed to not say comic books, you know, like graphic novels, but they were comic books when I was a kid. And I literally had an entire dresser drawer filled with hundreds and hundreds of comic books of every type, you know, every superhero, every from, you know, Casper the Friendly Ghost, Richie Rich, Archie, like all the dumb shit. And I love this stuff. And anytime I, like, once in a while, I don't really collect them anymore or read them or anything, because I've just gotten cooler than that at this point. But I will sometimes just go to a comic book shop and spend $50 or $100 just to, with no intention in mind, just because I'll pick up a bunch of stuff that I like the way it looks, or it looks cool, or it's, you know, anyway, it's just a weird, I mean, I guess it's partially nostalgia, but also there's just something appealing about the way they look and the way you read through them. So anyway, pick up Justice Warriors.
And it's a good one?
Full disclosure, I have not read it yet. So. I can't speak either way, but I'm sure it's great. The guy, Matt Boers, was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize. Is there a Pulitzer Prize for comic books or for graphic novels?
There might be. I don't know.
I mean, Pulitzer, you know, he invented dynamite, so it feels connected to...
Wasn't that not Pulitzer? Wasn't that...
Pulitzer was the dynamite guy. You're thinking of Nobel, who just was into mispronouncing the fact that people were royalty. anyway, check out Justice Warriors, now available from Ahoy Comics.
Ahoy.
Ahoy.
poo-poo ship novels.
Do not poo-poo ship novels. And then the other thing I will say is, and this is just a plug, and you know, I know, whatever, I went to see your show on Saturday, but I'm not saying,
oh no, like tit for tat,
no, if anybody's in Santa Clarita, California, on this Thursday, so this podcast comes out on Wednesday, the following day, I am doing a show at a winery in Santa Clarita called the Double Barrel Winery or something like that. And it's a stand-up show, and I hope it goes well. I have a 7-hour tech rehearsal before the show, and I'm going to hope
bring snacks.
7 hours. No, I'm going to drive up there and perform. And I just haven't done, I mean, I've done open mics. I just haven't done a real stand-up show in so long. And it feels like...
That's fun. That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited. And like, I haven't been to a winery in so long. So that's also
exciting. You know? That's an interesting combo.
Yeah.
You could have a night.
Wine people love stand-up. They just love to like swirl things around in their mouth and spit them out.
And hear dick jokes.
Well, you know, that's my whole act.
I know. We've known each other a long time at this point.
What's up with dicks, folks? Anybody hear from out of dick? All right. Parting shots. Amber.
Parting shots. Yesterday was the day after the show, and I did nothing. And it was so great, and I highly recommend it. I feel like I've talked about this before, but I love being busy. And I love earning a day. Like I almost treat it like a sick day, but like, it's like before you're sick, it's like preventative. Yeah. Where,
Self-care is important.
Yes. But I think if I did that exact day without being busy and exhausted beforehand, I would be like, oh, am I
guilty?
Am I depressed? Like, right. But like an earned day like that, it's so, I woke up and I walked smudgy, and then I went back to bed for like 3 hours, mm-hmm. and I woke up and I ate a big breakfast and I watched some movies and I painted my nails a very subtle color, and I, you know, walked smudgy again. Like, I truly did almost nothing, and
more subtle.
And it was really gorgeous, and I recommend it. So, like, I don't know what my parting shot is, except, you know, balance.
Take care of yourself.
No, balance in moderation, and like, be busy, but also be not busy sometimes, and enjoy it.
Well, I think that sort of comes full circle, because that was the Shakespeare quote too, right? To be
we busy, shall rest.
To be not busy. To be busy or not to be busy. Busy or to be not busy.
Because I've been very busy lately, I don't want to get into it right now, but technically I'm moving into a different role at work. Mm. So I'm learning that new role. I'm training somebody on my current role, and I'm still doing my whole job. And last week, my direct manager was on vacation. So I was like the whole department learning a new role, teaching someone a new role. So it was busy, but also I realized, I spent, you know, nearly 3 years working from home, and I'd be busy and I'd join meetings, but a lot of it was just like me zoning in and working away in like a quiet tunnel vision sort of way. And the way things have gone recently at work is a lot of my work is incredibly interpersonal interactions, talking, ideas, trying to get ideas across to other people, people getting ideas across to me. And then I would come home and I would go to Liquid Feet rehearsal where we're talking the whole rehearsal. So I was just like, I don't want to talk. I don't want to think. I don't want to talk. And
guys, this is Liquid Feet, not Liquid Mouth. Shut the fuck up.
No, but it wasn't even that it was annoying. It was just like, I'm at my capacity.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how exhausting that can be. Like, because it seems like, oh, we're just having a little chat here. Here's a perfect example. There was a day last week where somebody invited me to like a lunch with a larger group of people. And I was like, sure. And then I thought about it. I was like, no, like I want an hour of not small talk, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, like I don't want to be like,
you wanted big talk.
No, I wanted no talk if possible, but I definitely didn't want to be like, so what do you do? Like I'm a little bit burnt out of that right this second. I will do it again.
That is also another level of exhausting. Is like when you don't particularly know people that well.
Yes. Like, yes.
That's a lot of stress too. At least for me. That's why I don't do that kind of thing. I only talk to people I know. If I sure. don't know people, I just stand in the corner quietly getting drunk and judging people.
You're just doing your act now.
Thank you.
Gotta practice for Thursday.
I just stand in the corner quietly getting drunk and judging dicks.
It still works.
I just want to say one more thing, which is about your monologue from Uncle Vanya, which was great, by the way. As soon as you walked on stage, I was like, here comes Chekhov. Like,
how did you know that?
Because of your costume. Like, it was so clearly
cool. A
Chekhov. You know, like a, that's like a cool. I was like, here comes, you know.
I was really proud. I was really happy because we've rehearsed that a ton, and it's always very quiet because it's just the three of us.
Right.
And it got laughs almost immediately just because it was such like a weird tone change. And then when I said, because I say Uncle Vanya in like the second sentence, right. Everyone's like, oh, I get what this is. Right. And that was a big laugh. But then, yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah. And I will also say, like, I knew Chekhov was coming, but I was surprised at the choice of Uncle Vanya. I was like, this is definitely going to be the sequel. You know, and wrong again.
Sorry. It sucks. A lot of the great, I mean, I guess I could have just done gender swap. Who cares at this point? But a lot of the great monologues are not written for women in those plays.
The Chekhov plays?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He didn't write women well, you know? Have you heard about Chekhov?
I spent my entire senior year only doing Chekhov.
This is my Russian studies professor character. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about Chekhov? He doesn't write for women. But I'll tell you who does. Justice Warriors.
Is that true? You don't know.
All right, folks, thank you so much for listening to The Long Shot. It is a podcast. By the way, I have to say, you know, I have very much been enjoying the comments that people have been leaving on the YouTube.
People have been listening to our requests. So tell your friends to listen to the show.
Tell your friends to listen to the show. But it's just... I just find a lot of the stuff people are writing is interesting, you know. Mm-hmm.
We've got interesting fans.
Yeah. And so if anybody is thinking about writing, if you're just like at home and you're like, I would love to, I don't know, post a comment on a YouTube video, but I'm not sure which one.
Do it on ours.
Do like one of those, you know, those videos about how to, you know, stretch your hips, or should I do one of those videos about the five mistakes nobody notices in Inglourious Basterds, or, you know, whatever.
I was so scared that you were going to like reveal too much about yourself and your YouTube. But yourself, like, exactly like mine.
Should I comment on one of those videos about what it's like to live your life alone in total loneliness all the time? Or, you know, one of those videos about how you just hate yourself because you overeat too much, or
it's like the those senators who are like, this is disgusting, look at my Instagram search page, and it's all like naked chicks, and it's like, yeah, that's yours, buddy, like that's not what mine looks like, you're telling them yourself. But anyway.
So feel free to comment and tell us, I don't know, tell us things about yourself. I you know, a lot of people were writing in like, this is when I started listening and this is why I was listening, or whatever, which is great. I loved it. And if you have something like that, please. But also if you just have like, you guys should do this, or you should talk about that, or this is how you fix your tight hips, or, you know, sometimes it's okay to be by yourself and just learn to live, you know, alone.
I gotta go.
Folks, this has been The Long Shot. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
I'm still short of proof of what happened before. And now that it's true, what good is this memory for? And why do I love you with such a strong vigor? Which is the action and which is the trigger? It's mine to install, but it's yours to configure, and I'm gonna take all the blame. And why did we go with with a planned obsolescence. It's cheaper, I know, but it's harsher in essence. And now that the code is in place and it's present, we'll just wait and see if you notice.